This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Last week we spoke about the plans that we make in 2020. We tend to make lots of plans, but there's no guarantee that any of those plans will succeed. The only plan that has a guaranteed success is God's plan. And so we started to look at what is God's plan. Because we're either going to invest ourselves only in our own plans, or we're going to align ourselves with God's plan and live our life accordingly. Let the rest of our plans fall in line with God's plan first and foremost in our lives. And so we see from Genesis to Revelation, God has this amazing plan for humanity. It's an amazing plan that started right in the beginning and is going to end when Jesus returns, right from the fall of man to the restoration of man and ultimately the return of Christ, where there is a new heaven and a new earth. We see God has this amazing plan for humanity. And the Bible is an amazing book that records not only the plan of God, the promises of God, it's also a testimony of all those steps that has already taken place, all those promises that has already come to pass, but also a record of that what is still to come, that gives us great hope as we believe in the Word of God. An amazing plan. But the Bible also reveals to us how God used ordinary men and women to accomplish His plan. That's the most amazing thing. God in His sovereignty and wisdom chose ordinary men and women to accomplish His plan. And one of those we shared last week around is this man called Abram that we speak of today, a normal, insignificant man in his time, that God called out of a pagan world, a pagan lifestyle, and he believed God's plan, and it was accounted to him as righteousness. And more than that, this man became the father of faith. And so we started to explore, what is it about this man's faith that made him so significant that God not only called him the father of faith, but he attached his name and his identity to this man. For centuries, God was known, revealed himself as the God of Abram, Isaac, and Jacob. There was something about this man's faith that God made a covenant with this man, not just with him, but his generations, his offsprings that will come from him, not just from his loins, but those who believe like he believed. What is this faith that God was looking at that made this man so significant? It's interesting that God announced his plan to Abram. While he was still a pagan in a pagan world, God announced his plan and Abram believed God, became part of that plan of God, and in doing so became the father of faith. One of the most significant characters in the Bible and the history of man, the man called Abram. God made a covenant with this man. Why? Because he responded in a particular way to God's plan. God revealed his plan to this man and he responded in a particular way that changed the course of history. And we read of this in Galatians 3 verse 6 to 9. Consider Abram. He believed God and it was accredited to him as righteousness. Understanding that those who have faith are children of Abram. Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announced it in advance, the gospel in advance to Abram. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abram, the man of faith. It's powerful to see how God called Abram. But you know what? What is so significant is that God calls each and every one the same way. He calls each and every one of us in the same way that he called Abram. I want you to come out of the world. I want you to follow me into my kingdom, into an inheritance that I will show you, and I will multiply you, I will bless you, and make you a great nation. It's the same plan and the same call. And so we see that if we respond to that plan in the way that Abram responded, we too are blessed, fall under the blessing that Abram was blessed. And so what is this plan? God announced his plan in advance to Abram, and Abram believed God. So many ask, what is this plan? If we read here in Galatians 3 verse 8, it says, and the scripture foresaw, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abram beforehand, saying, in you all the nations of the earth will be blessed. What is this gospel, this plan? It's the gospel and plan that we know so well. I'm going to call you out of the sinful world. I'm going to redeem you to myself through my son. I'm going to lead you into a promised inland and inheritance as you follow me. And there I will bless you and multiply you and make you a great nation. See, we're all called into that same plan. It is a good plan. It's not just a good plan. It is a perfect plan that carries great blessing. Abram had to do two things. He had to do two things before that covenant was established in his life. When he received the call, he had to respond in a particular way to be part of a covenant. And we see that in the life of Abram. God first called him, and when he responded to that call, God made a covenant with him that stands to this very day. There were two things that Abram had to do in response to God's call. The first, he had to believe. He had to believe the word of God. And not only did he have to believe, he had to act on that faith. Something powerful that he had to do. The first thing that Abram had to do is he had to leave the country, the world that he knew so well. He had to leave the city of sin, the family of sin, and he had to get out of the Ur of the Chaldeans. He had to get out of the Babylonian Empire, and he had to go to a place where God had called him. That first step required great faith and trust in God. If you think about it, a God that he did not know before spoke to him. And because he believed not only in God, but trusted God, he was willing to leave everything and follow him. That was last week. If you've missed it, that was the summary, but please listen to the rest. Abram's faith was not only in the Word of God. Was not only that God existed. Abram trusted God that God is able to do what he promised. And so he left everything behind and he followed God. God calls us in the same way. He calls us out of this world to have faith and trust in his son and to follow him in his kingdom. And so we all stand at the same place when God calls us. But the promise of blessing is conditional. You must first leave the sinful world. If you do not leave and follow me, you will not inherit. To make the move, we need two things. We need faith and trust in him, and then we need to act on our faith. And you know, because Abram's faith was real, he acted on that faith. He left everything, followed God to a country that he did not know. Abram trusted that God would do what he said he would do. And in Genesis 12 verse 4 we read, so Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him. You see, the test of faith is obedience. The test of real faith is obedience. Abram, it's not enough that you believe in me and you believe in my word. You need to act on that faith and leave. And it is when Abram left that God made a covenant with him. Fast forward, God gave Abram a son through Sarah, a promised son, a miracle. That son's name was Isaac. In Genesis 22, after 15, some say even 25 years, when Isaac was a young man, God tested Abram's faith. And how did he test Abram's faith? In Genesis 22 from verse 1 we read, now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abram and said to him, Abram, and he said, here I am. And then he said to him, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I shall tell you. What a powerful challenge and test to Abram's trust that God is able to do what he promised. And how did Abram respond to this test? The very next verse. So Abram rose early in the morning, saddled up his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, split the wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place which God had told him. You see, Abram did not just believe in God. He acted on his faith. He was convinced. He was fully convinced in the character and the nature of God, and that God is able to do what he said. And therefore, he was obedient. And he responded to God's word. Abram was fully convinced that God was able to do what he said. And so we read in Hebrews 11, by faith, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promise was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. You see, Abram not just believed in God. He not just believed in the word of God. He was fully convinced that God was able to do what he said. And so we read in Romans 4 verse 20, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was able to perform, and therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. One of the most powerful statements that we read so often and miss the significance. A pagan man was accounted as righteous because he responded to God in a particular way. Not through a perfect life, not through a holy life, but because he trusted, believed in God. Because he responded in the right way to God's word, God declared him righteous. How powerful is that? God is not looking at your past. He is looking at your faith. God does not live in the past. He has dealt with our past through Jesus Christ. He lives in the eternal presence. The only thing that matters is whether we believe, whether we choose to trust him, and whether we are willing to act on our faith. You see, Abram's faith was not just an intellectual faith. It was not just an emotional faith. It was his life. He was fully convinced that what God said, he was able to do. And therefore, from a place not out of obligation, but from a place of faith, Abram obeyed God. God is not looking for an obedience from obligation. He's looking for an obedience from faith. That is what made Abram the father of faith. And everyone that believes like he does will receive the same blessing. Abram was fully convinced that God would do what he said he would do. And because Abram responded in the right way, God declared that he is righteous. What does God expect from us? Exactly the same. Obedience not from a place of obligation, but from a place of faith. Being fully convinced in God and his word. That's Hebrews 11 verse 6 that says, without faith, I don't have it yet, don't look for it. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, but those who come to God must believe that he exists and that he is a rewarder of those who earnestly seek him. What God is looking for in you and my life is faith. A conviction, a fully convincing attitude and faith towards God that he is able to do what he said he will do, and that we would act on that through faith. That's Abram's faith. That indeed is saving faith. Faith not only in God, but faith in his plan. Faith that God is true when he says that this is my son, Jesus Christ, that I've sent, that whosoever believes in him will have everlasting life. If you have faith in this, you will act on it and accept him as king and follow him wherever he leads you, because you believe that what he says, that I will lead you to life, is true. You believe that he is the way, the only way to the Father. You believe that he is the way to life. And therefore you choose to believe and follow him. Obey him as he leads us to this place that, like Abram, we do not know. We have not seen heaven yet. God calls us from this world to heaven. He says, I've given you my son to redeem you. He will show you the way. Follow him and you will have eternity. And only those who are fully convinced that God is able to do, that God is true in what he says, will follow Jesus. Because not everything that Jesus says is easy to understand. It's not always easy to follow. You need patience and faith to follow Jesus. It's not only faith in God, but it is faith in his plan. It is not faith in God and faith in my own plan, my own understanding. It is faith in God and his word. Consider Abram, as the word says, when God's plan took too long. Abram knew what God said, but in his own understanding, he could not understand why it takes so long. God, you promised me a son. I know my wife is barren. For 80 years he's been barren, scientifically, emotionally, physically. It makes no sense what you say, but I choose to believe you. Yet after some time, when he struggled with his mind and his own understanding, why my wife that has been barren is still barren, there must be an alternative. So in his own understanding, he made his own plan and he had sex with the slave. And who was born? Ishmael. And what does God do? God comes to Abram and said, Abram, Ishmael is not my plan. It's your plan. But my plan will come to pass. You know what's the amazing thing? God did not write off Abram because he took his own plan. No. He said, Abram, that's not my plan. Isaac, your wife Sarah will be pregnant. And we know the story. Isaac was born. What a powerful testimony of God's faithfulness. Many times through our own experience and our own understanding, we try alternatives. But that's not God's plan. Man's plan versus God's plan. Our limited understanding versus God's wisdom. Our timing versus God's timing. The flesh versus faith. Galatians 4 verse 22 says, for it is written that Abram had two sons, one by the slave woman and the other by the free woman. His son by the slave woman was born according to the flesh, but his son by the free woman was born as a result of a divine promise. God's way versus man's way. And then it continues in verse 29. At that time, the son born according to the flesh persecuted the son born by the power of the Spirit. It is the same now. It is the same now to this very day that the descendants of Ishmael, the Arabs, is bent to destroy the descendants of Isaac, the Jews. For time has continued, and what the word of God says is true. Because what is of the flesh, what is man's plan, is opposite to God's plan. The two are not the same. It continues in verse 30. But what does Scripture say? get rid of the slave woman and her son, for the slave woman's son will never share in the inheritance with the free woman's son. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we are not children of slave women, but of the free women. You see, the way of the flesh is not the way of faith. There can only be one way. There's only one way to God's inheritance, and it's through faith in His Son, through following Him. Not our own way, our own understanding, but His way and His understanding. There can only be one way, and that is one plan, God's plan. It's very interesting in Genesis 22, when God tested Abram, He said something very powerful. He said, now take your son, your only son, whom you love. God did not say, take your youngest son, your second son. He said, take your only son, because there's only one plan. It's my plan. There's only one blessing. It's my blessing. And if we stick to God's plan, it is there where God's blessing rests. It's not in our own plans. It's in God's plan. God has something better for us than what this world can offer. Let go of this world and the things in it, the way it thinks, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. Let it go. Follow Jesus. But you have to believe. God has something better for us. He's calling us like Abram into His plan, into His blessing. The question is, do you believe this call? Do you trust God? Are we fully convinced that God is able to do what He said He would do? If so, stick to the plan, and you will reap the blessing that it holds. What is this plan? It's a simple plan. Leave the world, follow Jesus, and multiply. Make disciples. It's a simple plan. Leave the world, follow Jesus, and make disciples. That's God's plan. It's the only plan. It's the plan that was there from the beginning. It's the plan that will continue to the end. It's the only plan. That's God's plan for us. With that plan comes a great blessing for those who choose to believe. If that is you, stick to the plan. In 2020, for the rest of your life, stick to the plan. It's the story of my life. Stick to the plan. And you will be amazed how God uses, blesses, provides and changes the world around you. From the Garden of Eden to salvation, God has this one thing in mind. I want to call you back into a place of blessing. When He created man the first time, He created them in His image and likeness, and then He said, I want you to take this image and likeness, and I want you to multiply, fill the earth. But then man rebelled against God, was disobedient, and their nature and image got corrupted. We inherited the sinful nature of the one that we obeyed, Satan, and we became inherently selfish and sinful, and wickedness fill us. And then God, in His wisdom, sent His Son to redeem us so that we can be born again, become a new creation in Christ Jesus, filled with the Spirit of God. And then He says, go into the world and make disciples of all nations. Multiply. It's the plan of God. It's the plan of God. In 2020, I want to encourage you, stick to the plan. Align your plans with His plan. Ask God to teach you, to show you what this means for you. It's something different for you than to me, but the plan is the same. Leave the world, follow Jesus, and make disciples. It's God's plan. It's the only plan that will work. It's the only one guaranteed to succeed. It does not matter who you are. It's not mine. It doesn't matter who you are, where you live,
or what you do for a living.
This plan is amazing. You can apply it wherever you are. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter where you live or what you do. This plan is applicable to all of us if we only would believe. But to be part of this plan, you're going to have faith. You need to be fully convinced that God is able to do what He said, and then you need to act on it. I want to ask the ushers if they could come up and share with us communion as we consider a fresh and new God's call, a call to be part of His plan. And as the weeks continue, we'll share more around this, but this morning I want us to consider like Abram considered this call, this plan, and whether we have faith and trust in this plan. This year I am trusting God that we as a church will take a step in faith to be God's plan. That we together will take this step. That we will take this step of faith, not just to be part of the plan, but to be the plan. That we will be those who are called out of the world to be His own special people. A holy nation. A holy priesthood. That we will be the ones that follow Jesus. That we will be seen as the ones in this wicked world, as the ones who follow Jesus. And that we will be the ones who multiply, make disciples. That we will be empowered by His Spirit to do what He called us to do. That's my prayer for 2020, for my life. It's my prayer for your life. It's my hidden agenda whenever I see you, is to pray, God, use us. Let us be your plan. Let us see this town turn for you. Let us spread the gospel with love and faith. Like the Word of God says, the only thing that matters is love expressing itself through faith. God, let us become who you desire us to be. Are you willing to be part of this plan? If you are, let us step out together this year. Encourage one another and stick to the plan. Let us not make plans that take us away from this, but let us make plans that help us to position ourselves to be part of this. Let us have faith in God's Word. Let us wrestle with Him until we see His promises come true. Let us ask the Holy Spirit to empower us to be witnesses, because God says the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Will we consider today this call to be part of God's plan? Even though we do not fully understand how it will work, even though we do not fully see how it will look, will we exercise our faith and choose to put our trust in Him, being fully convinced that He is able to do what He promised? I want us to consider that. Let's just bow our heads. Father, we thank You. We thank You, God, for Your plan, that it includes us all. It's not just for an elect few, but You say, whosoever believes, whosoever receives, whosoever responds to this plan may become righteous in Christ Jesus. God, You gave Your Son so that we may be part of this, even as Gentiles, even as those who were not born from the loins of Abram. You gave us an opportunity to be part of this plan. And God, so we stand here today, Lord, as we hear Your Word and we hear Your call. God, I pray that, Holy Spirit, You will stir in us faith, that we will choose to believe You. Like Abram, Lord, we will trust You and act on Your Word, follow You, obey You, surrender our lives to you so that you may use us in whichever way you choose to, so that you may receive the glory. God, I pray for this faith in us. If you are here this morning and you have never surrendered your life fully to God, as all the eyes are closed, I want to give you an opportunity right now, because God is calling you. It doesn't matter about your past. It doesn't matter how many of your own plans you have made. God says today, if you choose to accept me, if you choose to have faith and trust in me, I will declare you righteous and you will become mine and I will be yours. If that is you today and you want to surrender your life to God, as all the eyes are closed, I just want you to respond to him and say, God, here I am, by raising your hand. Say, God, here I am. I want to give you my life. If that is you, just raise your hand right now. Thank you for that hand. Is there anyone else? You can drop that hand. Thank you. Is there anyone else? You can drop that hand. Is there anyone else? I'll give just a moment. Thank you. Is there anyone else? I want us all to pray after me, because this decision to follow God is the most important decision that you will ever make in your life. By making this decision to trust Him and to act on your faith, God declares you righteous. And so, Father, I want to thank you for each and every person that made this commitment. And so we all pray together, Heavenly Father, thank you for calling me. Thank you for sending your son for me to save me. God, thank you that today I have an opportunity to respond to you in faith. I choose to believe you. I choose to believe in Jesus. You say he died for me. And I choose to trust you, to trust him. And I will follow him all the days of my life. And I thank you that today I am declared righteous by you, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer in faith and you have surrendered everything to him, I can declare to you that you are saved. You are new. God makes you new. Now follow him. Commit yourself every day in his presence to pray and to read his word and to be obedient to what he says. And you will reap the blessing of Abram. You will be called a child of God and have eternity with him. And he will be with you and he will teach you and he will show you the way as you grow. And Father, for the rest of us, Lord, that have made that decision to follow you, Lord, we take this opportunity again just to recommit ourselves, to recommit ourselves to your plan. The plan that you paid with the life of your son. As we take this bread, Lord, we remember that this plan came at a cost. And so as we eat together, Lord, we thank you for this cost. And we remember, in Jesus' name, let's eat together. As we choose to put our faith in you and your word, Lord, we thank you for this cup that not only seals us, not only washes us new, but it's called the cup of blessing. That this covenant that we partake today, as we eat your flesh and drink your blood, we partake of you, your promise, your purpose, and your blessing. We thank you for this privilege, Lord. We pray, Holy Spirit, lead us, guide us, show us, Lord. Use us in your plan, so that you may receive the glory, in Jesus' name. Let's drink together. I want us just to stand and just conclude this service in focusing on God, giving him all the glory. Let's sing with all our heart in faith as we commit ourselves to follow God, his plan, his purpose, in Jesus' name. Let's just sing together.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.